Now we've got Mark Deal with us. He's the author of 17, Book 1, the website armyofthedoom.com. Mark, welcome to Evan and Deb in the afternoon.
Thank you, Evan and Deb. It's great to be here.
Our pleasure. So tell me, 17, Book 1, what is that about exactly?
Well, it's a science fiction series in the same way that George Orwell wrote, well, what if we were all going to be communist? What would the world be like? And he came up with what's now known as an Orwellian nightmare. This is the New World Order. This is the future as it looks to me as someone who is a social scientist who has lived in five countries and worked
right.
in five countries.
Well, and you look at George Orwell, 1984. I remember reading it when I was in high school, okay? And everybody thought this could never happen. I mean, not in 1984 it couldn't happen. We didn't have the technology back then. But today, it's sort of happening, isn't it? I mean, you read about Tesco is going to be scanning people's faces when they walk into stores to see who they should market to. You got the NSA going into, well, Google swears they're not doing it, but then the NSA and, of course, Edward Snowden says they are. So, I mean, are we at where George Orwell said we would be?
Well, I think Orwell didn't have the full picture. At his time, he was looking at how big governments had grown, because right around that time, governments and the nation state had started this huge, tremendous growth and focus of power. And that is still true. I mean, now our government is bigger than it has ever been before. But also, too, our other institutions are bigger. Our corporations are dwarfing most of the world's governments now. And that has dramatically changed the landscape. So Orwell had part of the picture. Yes, government is huge, and government is a problem. And it's something to watch. But there are other parts of the puzzle now, these multinational institutions that are owned not by Americans. You know,
right.
Multinational corporation does not mean American. It means owned by and controlled by world financial markets. And those institutions now are key to survival for so many of us.
Right.
That
and
they're playing a new role in how we live.
And these corporations, you know, you look at companies that you think, oh, well, this is Wilson Sporting Goods. This is, you know, Coca-Cola. And they're owned by, like you said, multinational. They're owned by banks. They're owned by financial institutions. And they don't really, they just care about the bottom line at the end of the day. You know, it's nice to have a great product, but it's if the product sells extremely well, that's what's really important. So you lose sort of the personality of these companies that started off as one-offs, right?
Right. And, you know, this is why small business is dying. It's not because we don't care. It's not because we don't want small business. It's because the size and the organization of these institutions is so giant. If you think about, and that's why I call my website Army of the Doomed. You know, if you imagine waking up one day and you look out your window and there's a modern mechanized army ready to wipe out your neighborhood, you and your neighbors could go stand against them, but you're all going to argue about who's going to go first and where people are going to be. There's no saluting and saying, yes, sir, and I'm going to go fight, you know, because I was told to do so. You know, you're
right.
going to bicker with your neighbors just like you always bicker with your neighbors. And so we are the army of the doomed. We are the individuals. We are the small business owners. We are the people standing up to say, well, wait a minute. These guys are taking over everything. But, you know, do I have a solution to that?
Well,
I can tell you where we're headed. And I
right.
think in my book I do that. I show this is the way the world will be.
Well, if you look at
with giant corporations and giant government institutions running the world, and anybody who's not inside them doing what they're told is outside struggling for survival.
Well, and if you look at what happened during the financial crisis, who did the government save? They saved the huge organizations. The small companies, they threw small pittances at, but not nearly what they needed to do to help small business survive during the last financial crisis, right?
Precisely. So in my book, it's set in the future. There are 17 billion people in the world, but most of them are unconscious. They're just hooked to machines, and their brains work for the company. And then there are a few people walking around, and most of them are starving in ghettos. And then there are a few people, actually, they're called ambulatory workers, and they're out actually working for the corporations, but every part of their lives is controlled by the corporation, because that's what the power is so concentrated that that's the kind of control that they will have over their workers. A good worker now is not somebody who's just hardworking. It's somebody who obeys and obeys multiple levels of hierarchy and control.
Is it ironic that you look at the 60s, you look at all those, you know, my parents that grew up in that time or were adults in that time, you know, that was that free thinking, be individuals, don't follow, you know, the way everyone else is following. But they're such, a lot of those people now have been like, you know, the kind of people that fight for political correctness. Everybody needs to be the same. It's sort of ironic, isn't it, that those people that were fighting, you know, what are they called, the yuppies, that, you know, they're no longer fighting for that independence. They want everybody to be the same and everyone to be equal.
Well, I think, yeah, and that's also part of the world that I created for 17, because it is. It's this, as you get more power focused in a big organization, everybody has to be the same. I got this idea when I was living overseas in Asia, because there they've had that kind of system where thousands of years ago they were approaching the kinds of population densities and the kinds of resource depletion that we have here, and they learned how to structure themselves and be more compliant and be more uniform. And in Japan, I remember, I have pictures of a traffic jam in Japan, you know, the brake lights stretching to the horizon, and every single car is a white four-door sedan, because Nobody wanted to stand out. And everybody wanted, you know, that similarity, that being the same, being a fungible component of the machinery was a good thing. People wanted that. And what I realized after I came back, I went to law school and I worked in a big corporate law firm that was, I had multinational clients. That's what's happening here. There's this pressure to be part of the machinery, to be another component that can be changed in and out at
right.
the will of the corporation.
Mark, stay with us. I've got some more questions for you. One, is there something we can do to fight against being a conformist right here? It's 1250 Winds, WHNZ, Evan and Deb in the afternoon. We're talking to Mark Diehl, author of 17, Book 1. Find it at armyofthedoomed.com is the website. Plenty more coming up right here. Health, Wealth, and Wisdom. Find us at healthwealthandwisdom.org. 1250 Winds, Evan and Deb.
Now back to Evan and Deb in the afternoon.
We are talking to Mark Diehl right now. A little while, we're going to have Jackie Silver with us. Why is sleep so important to our brain? She's going to tell us all about that. And is the U.S. becoming nothing but a bunch of sellouts? Well, he's written the book, 17, Book 1. You can find it at armyofthedoomed.com. So, Mark, are we just all becoming conformists? Is that the direction we're going in America?
That is certainly the pressure, you know, and that's why we say sellouts, right? I mean,
right.
It's the easiest path to take. The question really is it the only path? Is that all we can do, is just sort of assimilate into these big amorphous institutions that just absorb us and take us over? I don't know. What I can tell you is, we can try. I founded a group up here in Maine called Think Local Community Networking. We brought in local businesses to do networking events with local job seekers and local charities, and we brought everybody together and we raised money for the charity. You know, there are things that we can do like that, but there is a trend that's been going on for thousands of years, which is conquering the wild. First we conquer the land, then we conquer the animals. Now we're down to conquering ourselves. And individuality is the part of wildness that we are now working on. We are eliminating it. And I think that if we are to have any lasting effect, any chance of holding on to individuality, we have to start now and we have to say, yeah, this is important. We have to value people for being individual and being different and being unique.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is so important to our society. And if you want innovation, you have to value individuality, don't you?
Right, and that's the thing that I think a lot of people get hung up on when I say this is, well, we do need those innovators. We need that kind of spark. But remember that corporations and governments don't just sell things and enforce traffic rules. They own things. And that's
right.
Really what is different now is that we're running out of resources, and all of these resources are being concentrated into these big organizations. So now it's, if you want to get those resources for yourself, for your family, you have to get them from these institutions. And that's the part that's never been true before.
Well, and I think, you look at the political landscape, there's still not been election finance reform. The lobbyists are just insipid, and they're everywhere. I mean, I think as Americans, we need to force change upon the political system before it's too late, if it's not too late already.
That's an excellent point, and it goes right to what I'm saying. Individuals with their one puny vote don't really have that leverage that they used to have, because now there's so much influence being exerted by these other forces. And so how do we return power to the individual?
Right.
And if we can't do it in a democracy, how can we do it in an employment situation, for example? You can't have everybody vote.
Right.
How are we going to run the company today? And when they get merged like it is now, everything becomes your job. Everything becomes part of doing what you're told to make your boss happy.
Well, and more so than ever before. I mean, we're working all different hours. We're working throughout the day and through the night. People are sending texts and emails. And, it wasn't that way. If you go back only 20 years ago, when I first started working, let's say just about 30 years ago, I mean, you went home. That was it. You didn't see or talk to the boss till the next day.
Right. And that's why in 17 I wrote, I have all these people who are unconscious and literally wired into the computer at work.
Right,
They are laid out in these stretchers, and their little brains are just humming along, working for the company 24/7 as part of this computer bank. And, is that really that much different than having a cell phone to your head all the time?
No, we're just wirelessly connected. But you know what? It's also people, everyone wants like immediate response. Even your clients, it's like they're emailing you at 11 or 12 o'clock at night thinking, well, he should get back to me now. I'm like, I might be asleep. Maybe I'm hanging out with some friends.
Yeah, sleep is no longer something that you can use as an excuse.
No. Why didn't you get back to me?
That's been long gone, but now it's, I was asleep. I was driving. That's about all you can say. I couldn't answer your text because it's illegal.
Well, you can only do that in New York. In Florida, they still tell you, you needed to text me back. It's not illegal. So,
crazy. Well, there you go.
But check out the book, 17, Book 1. You can find it at armyofthedoom.com. I'm sure you can find it at bookstores and at Amazon as well.
Yes. You can... It's all over. The electronic version is on Barnes & Noble, but the print version is available at Amazon.
Okay, we'll go to Barnes & Noble for sure. I like them better. So they're not as big of a corporation. I don't know. Maybe they are as big of a corporation. I can't tell anymore. Mark, thanks so much for joining us. Very interesting stuff. I'm going to have to check out that book as well.
Well, thank you, Evan, and it was great to be here today.
Our pleasure. We'll talk to you again sometime.
All right.
Okay, take care. All righty.